For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Right here on 960theref.com.
All right, this is episode 196 of the crossover. David Johnston from The Morning Show, Jeff Dantzler from The Home Team, and thanks so much for joining us here. I'm getting all choked up because football season has started and I can't control myself. But no, thanks so much for joining us. You know the drill. You can find us wherever you find your podcast. We are everywhere, and let us know what you think. The Crossover Podcast, getting closer and closer to episode number 200, and that is certainly a very exciting thing. Also, a very exciting thing is a win over Clemson, Jeff, and what a great start to the season.
It was a great start to the season. Yeah, we talked on paper, far and away, least important game of the year. You lose that one, you win out, everything's in front of you. But as far as the confidence of the team, the prestige, the expectations, a tremendous victory. Georgia vaulting to number two in the polls. But as we know, and Kirby likes to say it, humility only a week away. And Dave and I, both children of Dooley and Munson, that Wednesday win, the three-day head start for UAB, the hungry fighter with those players who might not have quite had the height or the weight or some of the other analytics and parameters there. UAB, a very good football team. Three straight trips to the CUSA title game. They've won it two of the last 3 years. This is a team that knows how to win championships. They're going to come in here hungry with nothing to lose. And they are a great defensive football team. Just looking at the numbers from last year, DJ, they were seventh in the NCAA in pass defense, and they were dominant in a win over Jacksonville State last Wednesday. They can run it. They can throw it in their quarterback.
Hey, his last name's Johnston.
His last name's Johnston, second cousin. And he is accurate at 19 of 23 in the opener, and he doesn't make mistakes. So I think this is going to be a tough, tough challenge for Georgia. I'm glad the game's kicking at 3:30.
I am too.
It's not a noon.
I am totally with you on that. And I'm also glad that, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Dogs opened up the season with a big win over the Clemson Tigers. And big picture, you know, we had talked about during the offseason, the UAB game, in a sense, is bigger than the Clemson game. Sure. Because which game, if you're going to win one and lose one, you can't lose the UAB game.
Right.
You can lose the Clemson game and still have everything out there for you. But now that the Clemson game is behind us, this is a huge game because of where Georgia is moving up to number two in both the AP rankings and the coaches poll. So the Dogs in Alabama are the top two teams. And I think it's interesting when you look back at Saturday night and you can watch a game that's low scoring and go, man, the offenses just were not good. And we've seen that, I think, of a certain game against Missouri a few years ago. Georgia won 9-6.
That was not the 85 Bears against the 74 Steelers.
No. And wasn't it on the first possession there was a interception, stopped them at the one or two or whatever.
Three, and that made the difference.
Yeah, and they didn't score a touchdown there, and that was gigantic. But I think we could see what it looked like when you had two really, really good defenses going at each other, and that was what we saw on Saturday.
No doubt. And I think one of the highlights, too, that hopefully the offense can carry over to Saturday afternoon is the way Georgia was able to run out the clock.
Oh, that was great.
And it worked out great, too, that it was nine plays, that it went to third down three different times. Sometimes you can get the first down a little too quick.
Yeah.
But you couldn't have scripted it any better. And I'm hopeful, again, that the offense can carry that over because the bottom line is right now, for whatever reason, some Ricky Bobby voodoo thing got put on Georgia's pass catchers. And, I mean, if somebody would have told you back in February, yeah, it's going to be Jalen Johnson and Ladd McConkey out there, Now, those guys are good players, but you're talking about a freshman. You're talking about a walk-on there. You don't have Darnell Washington. You don't have George Pickens. You don't have Arik Gilbert. And obviously, Jermaine Burton and Kyaris Jackson are not 100%. You know, Arian Smith, Georgia didn't go deep to him. So the Dogs are leading on freshmen and walk-ons. A.D. Mitchell got the start there. So Georgia, to avoid having the offense have what happened for part of that 2019 season, which was a great year. I mean, we beat Florida, Auburn Tech, won the Sugar Bowl, and beat Notre Dame. But, you know,
pretty good.
But there were times that year where the offense, it was a grind. And teams really started stacking everybody in. So Georgia's going to have to get some receivers open downfield. Now, the hope is, starting with UAB, that Georgia can survive the UAB game, survive South Carolina, which has an excellent defensive line. The Dogs should handle Vanderbilt. And then maybe at that point, and I think because the Arkansas game is early October, it's a good target date with the new month, maybe some of those guys are back and they're getting up to speed. But the other part of that, particularly at a position that requires so much timing, it's not like if somebody comes back, hey, we're just going to roll them out there. It's going to be good to go 100%. The connections are going to be there.
Right.
It's going to take some time. So this defense and Jake Camarda, they're going to have to carry the load. And so Georgia's offense, when those opportunities do come about, it's going to be vital to cash in.
And you think the game plan, though, was interesting Saturday. Clemson must have just thought, we're not going to be able to run the ball on these guys.
Right.
They didn't really do a whole lot of commitment. Not having a guy like Etienne is huge, your all-time leading rusher. I thought Georgia's game plan for all of this, conservative, but I think that's what Kirby and Coach Monk and the rest of the offensive staff had to be thinking, too, is – we don't want to be too crazy. This is one of these kind of games where one mistake can hurt you. And it was Clemson who made the mistake, and Christopher Smith made them pay for it. But I liked what we did. I'm not getting caught up in the offense, the fact that Georgia didn't score a touchdown. Obviously, at the end of the game, running out the clock was, to me, kind of the highlight there. I thought the highlight overall was in the second half, following the pick. Georgia gets intercepted on the first possession, and Clemson takes over at the 33 of Georgia and ends up punting.
Well, and that's where the defense is picking up the offense. And I think about great teams through the years, any football teams, but certainly ones that Georgia's had. If the offense is struggling, the defense and special teams is carrying the load. If the defense is having a hard time, it's the offense and the kicking game that can carry the load. And I even go back to the 83 season, which was one of the great defenses of all time in Georgia history. And the Bulldogs that year had a very conservative approach with John Lastinger at quarterback. He was the pilot of that team, had a great offensive line, a great kicker in Kevin Butler, a great punter in Chip Andrews. And you knew with all that, John was such a good athlete, wasn't going to make mistakes. You had a great kicker, an excellent punter, a phenomenal defense. You just didn't want to do anything to put yourself in a hole. And I remember back through that year, we went through, we beat UCLA 19-8, 16-16 with Clemson. We beat South Carolina 31-13, Mississippi State 20-7. We beat Ole Miss 36-11. We beat Vandy 20-13. And the defense is just doing so much. Well, the next game, we went out and beat Kentucky 47-21. And it was almost like it was one of those games like, all right, listen, the offense, we need to go out there and we need to have a day, because you're putting so much pressure on those other two units. And again, a lot of that has to do with the game plan, and that those were long, you know, time-consuming drives that Georgia was going for. But in any sport, and DJ, you and I, we've done Georgia baseball games forever. You can pitch and play great defense. You can do it all day long. If you're living on winning 2-1 or 1-0, at some point, something bad's going to happen.
Yep.
A guy's
yep.
going to have an off day. A ball's going to hit the bag and bounce sideways. You're going to make an error. A great pitcher's going to make a bad pitch. You're going to have to score. So I think that's going to be something in this UAB game. Again, against a very good defense, can Georgia go out there, get 3-4 touchdowns? Is this going to be a 16-13 game like in 2003? Is this going to be a 24-14 type game? Or can Georgia go out and the line, you know, started at 29, it's gotten down as low as 23.5. Can Georgia go out and say win 31-10, win by three touchdowns, or maybe even beat the line? Obviously, we'll find that out on Saturday afternoon. But as great as this defense is and as great as Kamara is, you know, you certainly want to see that progression from Georgia's offense. UAB's defense is not as good as Clemson's, okay? But it is a very good defense. They're very well coached. And, again, they had a three-day head start. So I think this is going to be a very good test for this Georgia offense on Saturday afternoon.
Who, by the way, their coach, Bill Clark.
Excellent.
Excellent coach. He kind of reminds me of Mike Bobo, the way he looks and the way he talks a little bit. And when he came to the podium earlier in the week for his press conference, first thing he said was, man, it seems like it's been forever since we played. So that can be something that works in their favor because they didn't play Saturday, they didn't play Friday, they didn't play Thursday, they played on Wednesday. So they'll have been off for a week and a half when they come in to play Georgia. And then it's not like one of these, oh, they're going to be intimidated kind of things.
No.
In fact, it's just the opposite. They'll have guys that feel like they should have been recruited heavier by Alabama, by Auburn, by Georgia. So they'll have a chip on their shoulder.
No doubt about it. We see it in every sport, but I think especially in football where there's that linebacker who's, say, 5'11", 210, he might not fit the parameters that Alabama and Auburn were looking for. Doesn't mean the guy's not a great player. And I can remember back when Georgia Southern nearly beat us here in 2015, greatest non-loss in Georgia history. But they had a linebacker who popped Isaiah McKenzie. The ball comes out. He returns it. Guy had like 10, 12 tackles, got drafted. And it's like, again, if he was 2 or 3 inches taller, he'd have been playing at Georgia or Florida State. But he wasn't. He winds up at Georgia Southern. Doesn't mean the guy's not a great player. And UAB has a roster filled with those guys. Their receiver, Shropshire's terrific. He went for a 130. And that defense, what they like to do, they really love playing that man coverage. They got good corners who, again, maybe they're a couple inches shorter than what Alabama and Auburn have got, but they can play, and that means they are really loading up to stop that run. I mean, it is a game plan the way UAB is set up, going off of what we saw this past Saturday. It is a game plan that I would think UAB's got a lot of confidence in, and that I would imagine, you know, Kirby and the staff, they know it could be problematic. So how are the Dogs going to respond to that on Saturday?
I totally agree. And, you know, I was thinking earlier today, in fact, by the way, today is Wednesday. And by the way, happy birthday to Miss Barbara Dooley.
Yes, ma'am.
Her birthday is today. This is Wednesday, September 8th. Coach Dooley, what a great birthday present he got on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
But I was sitting there thinking about UAB ahead of South Carolina, and I started, well, I'm glad we're not playing South Carolina this week because I think of the 84 season.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
What we always forget about.
Right, the
Butler's kick was what, the next week?
It was, yeah.
Was South Carolina. Now, I know they had, for them, that was a magical year, but a lot of that, too, I think South Carolina was in the right place at the right time, too, on the schedule, and that's a lot of things you got to think about, and that's where UAB is right now.
They really are, DJ, and that's a great point, and that was one of those, we kind of went into a hornet's nest over in Columbia, and they had a great team. It was a perfect storm, and they beat us 17-10 that night, and, that was one of those where we didn't really play bad. They just, they had a great team, and it was one of those deals, too. At the time, and that's one thing early in the season, at the time, you don't really know how good somebody's going to be. And that's where when I get, you know, oh, bring on Bama, people will post stuff after one game. And Mark Bradley, in fact, wrote a great column talking about that after Georgia, and it was a terrific column, had beaten Clemson 30-0 to open the 03 season. He said he had said something to Coach Dooley, but, boy, that's one of the most impressive wins, Coach. It is. The thing about the opener is you don't know how good teams are going to be.
Sure.
So, for instance, in 1984, Clemson was preseason number 2. Okay. They wound up going 7-4. Now, we beat them by 3. Tech beat them in a close game. You know, South Carolina. They
beat
had a good
on
team.
A weird extra point.
Yeah.
Thing.
And I guess maybe Maryland. But anyway, they went 7-4. South Carolina that year was not ranked in the preseason. They had a 10-1 regular season. So you don't know how everything is going to turn out. And that's why And I get it. Hey, it's the nature of the beast. There would be nothing that would make me happier than for us on January the 10th to be smoking a victory cigar as a national champions. But you need to enjoy the week by week and understand, too, you know, these games don't go strictly by the analytics. And I think especially in this season, you are going to see more upsets. And I'm not necessarily talking about Alabama. And one of the things that has stood out to me in watching last week and the week zero games, and just when I was studying up on all of Georgia's upcoming opponents, the number of teams that have seniors and super seniors, 22, 23-year-old guys, schools like Missouri and Arkansas that might not have had a ton of players drafted, getting guys back like Georgia got Devontae Wyatt and Justin Schaefer back.
Right.
Was it Illinois in week zero? I think they had, 21 super seniors on that team? And then that gets to something else we talk about a lot, DJ, is that, okay, I might be a five-star hotshot. I'm 19 years old. All right, and we kind of saw that against Cincinnati. Great, you were a 2.5 star, whatever. You're 23 years old.
There's a big difference.
You're a fifth or now this year, even a sixth-year guy. This is a different-looking animal, college football in 2021. And, Coach, you better be ready every Saturday. You darn well better be ready every Saturday this year.
And it hit me this morning. We had Coach Crane on our morning show and just kind of a preseason little chat there. And I was looking at our roster that has 10 newcomers from the men's basketball team. But you had everything from a freshman, and now because of what's happened with COVID – I guess our man Jigs and SIDs across the country are having to list players as sixth, which I'd never seen before.
That's a new thing.
So there are guys out there that they're not seniors. They're not redshirt seniors. They're sixth.
Yep.
And that makes a huge, huge difference.
And they're obviously choosing to come back. Yeah. They want to be there for that last run. And nobody comes back to lose. I'm going to throw out there, if I can talk about soccer for just a moment, Georgia's women's soccer team, they've been solid, but they haven't been able to break through. Well, they got a couple of those super seniors. They got an 8-player senior class. Well, this team was picked to finish 13th in the SEC, and as we broadcast here, they're 5-1, beat Clemson, who was number 10, and they're leading the nation in goals scored. Well, they've got all these seniors are playing incredible right now. They didn't have to come back, obviously, but they wanted to come back for one last run. And again, this was a team picked to finish near the bottom, and they're having a phenomenal season. That's going to happen. I'm not saying Illinois is going to win the national championship this year, but schools that might have, in now these 14-team leagues, it might have been, say, around 10 or 11, maybe this year they finish fifth or sixth, and maybe they knock somebody off.
I think that's, like you said, all sports, you've got situations like this, and I think that is an excellent point. Another thing, too, I want to mention about UAB, when they had the hiccup a few years ago, wasn't their hiccup, but when suddenly political forces decided they shouldn't be playing football, a lot of schools benefited from that, including Georgia, getting a guy like Jake Gainis.
Yes.
And we know how good of a player he was.
Great example.
Yeah. And
guy had
going
over 100 tackles.
They're going to be bringing what I assume will be 70 to 85 Jake Gainis-type players. And if you're not on, I mean, Georgia's got the better team. Yes. But if they're not on, those Jake Gainises can take you out. You got to be careful.
100%.
Yes.
No, UAB can absolutely win this game on Saturday.
If a couple of things, like you said, the 0-3 game that was 16-13. And I remember, and in fact, you know, we have Russ Tanner on our morning show. And he was just talking about how, like, it's the most frustrating thing in sports when you're trying so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you try harder, and it doesn't help. You're just trying to get out of there.
Sometimes it's the worst thing that you can do.
Yeah.
They were beating us 13-10 late in the third. Billy Bennett hit a field goal to tie it. Then he made a field goal to give us a lead. Then we were able to get a stop and run out the clock. But that was the week before Florida. You know, we had been rolling pretty good, and it was scary. And the thing that UAB has as well, and you hit on it, DJ, they've got an excellent coach. They got a lot of really good players who are playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're a veteran team. They got a heck of a defense and a terrific quarterback.
Yeah. That's all – that's a recipe right there. If you're in Conference USA like they are, that's a recipe for success. And by the way, they've won that conference 2 out of the last 3 years.
They know how to win, and that's one of the things that Kirby talked about on Monday as well. These guys know how to win championships. They know how to win big games. And, again, that extra time. So, again, as we said, kind of circling back to the start of the
Hashtag
show.
Hashtag circling.
The 3:30 kickoff I do like, and just I think it'll help get the crowd juiced up. It gives it more of that quote-unquote big game feel.
Sure.
And let's face it, too. It gives you a little extra time since that Saturday night slobber knocker. But this is one, obviously, Coach McGee says, I'll take a 1-point win right now. If somebody said, JD, would you take Georgia 24, UAB 14 right now? Yes. Get me out of there and get me ready
for the
game.
But that means we'll drop to 3 or 4 in the rankings, Jeff.
I could care less. I could just get me out of here with a win. And this is a really good team. And I think it's a great story, too, because it was – an absolute crime that they had to do away with their program. And when you the egos and the politics were involved in that, and you think about the number of people who lost their jobs. I mean, thinking about with Norm Riley, our late friend who was our SID, David Crane, an old friend of ours who used to call Alabama baseball. Yeah. He's their football voice, and all of a sudden it's like, well, what's
going on here?
Yeah, what's going on here? But they brought it back.
And then to bring it back without losing their coach is crazy.
I mean, they have just done an excellent job. And they're looking for that signature. And what UAB's thinking is like, hey, if we could go in there and pull off this upset, then all of a sudden, you know, win Conference USA, they're thinking maybe we could, I'll call it the old BCS buster, you know, get in one of those games like, you know, help me, like Northern Illinois and like Cincinnati did last year.
Yeah, get in one of those New Year's Six bowls.
They could, if they were to win in Athens, they could absolutely put themselves in that kind of position.
Sure. Now, probably you're looking at right now as a Cincinnati more in that boat is a team that's really interesting is Coastal Carolina. And by the way, they're about a 25-point favorite at home against Kansas this weekend. And I believe I heard, did Kansas storm the field when they beat South Dakota this weekend?
Because it was,
their fans stormed the
field?
It
had been a while.
and honestly, I was looking at their schedule because they play Coastal Carolina, and then I think they got Baylor next week. But, like, who's going to win again? Kansas's football team or Kansas's basketball team?
Now, that's a good point.
And it might be their basketball team.
Because they and plus all the turmoil they had in the offseason.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
– and they got a good coach, the coach from Buffalo, Lance Leopold. But still, that is
– yeah.
Just makes you look back at Mark Mangino and think, how did the heck do they do that?
It's unbelievable.
But, yeah.
And it's one of those deals, too. Their fans just really obviously – they don't really care either. So
all hoops.
When hoops cranks up, you know, practice and
I mean, think about
late
Kentucky,
October.
Their fans care about football 100 times more than Kansas's fans do.
Oh, yeah.
And we think Kentucky is like, they just don't think as much about football.
Oh, yeah. No, Kentucky football, yeah, they love it. But it just so happens that it comes, obviously, before basketball.
Right.
Basketball is their big deal. But, no, they love it. It's a great story along those lines, though. When our buddy Chris Welton, who was – star of our 1980 national championships team, a great player. And when he was working up in Lexington a few years ago, he told me, he said, yeah, I went into that tavern y'all told me about, the Big Blue Martini, to get me to grab. He had just moved up there to grab some dinner and want to watch Monday Night Football. And all 8 TVs in there, 12 TVs, whatever it was, we're on the blue-white scrimmage, which is going on next door at Rupp Arena. David and I have been in the Big Blue Martini a time or two. And he said, excuse me, can you put one of those TVs on the Monday night? Well, no, we got the screen. He goes, well, it's a scrimmage. It's right next door. Oh, yeah, but we got to have them all on this.
Sorry. Like,
well, okay, then. I guess I'll watch it on my phone here.
Wow. That's how they are, though.
But they do. But they absolutely do support their football team. And I just think at Kansas, it's one of those deals, too. When you've been really, really bad for a long time, it's hard to get it back. And just the things that at a place like Georgia that we take for granted, just in terms of interest and support, to think that you've got to try and drum that up for football.
Exactly.
And it's one thing if you're doing it for soccer or, you know, tennis or gymnastics, yeah. but yeah. when you're doing that for football.
Ooh. I hear you. I hear you. And I'm just glad we're not Kansas.
Yes.
Dorothy, you stay out in Kansas.
But that's a not long way from my the heels. Ocean, too. That's a long way from the coast.
So the Dogs do move up to number two in the AP poll. And again, 3:30 kickoff, like you said earlier. So glad that's not a noon start. Very, very happy that that thing is kicking off when it is. And then we'll have the nighttime start, excuse me, next week for South Carolina. And by the way, they beat Eastern Illinois. They're a pick'em right now on the road against East Carolina. But I was very happy locally for Zeb Nolan, mm-hmm. Oconee County, and his dad Travis coaches the Warriors there. Zeb threw four touchdown passes. What a crazy story from grad assistant to starting quarterback and doing a great job over there.
Yeah, no doubt. He really is. I think it's a terrific story. And there, I don't know if Luke Doty will be able to play Saturday. Maybe he's back for Georgia, but it really is a fascinating story. And
which I didn't even realize you could do, but obviously if you got eligibility, you got eligibility.
You can play, but it's and I think the great thing with week one is, okay, half the teams are undefeated.
Yep.
And half of them are 0-1. But if you're 0-1, that's still, hey, you can get back and do everything. But good gosh, to go in on Labor Day and be 1-0, I know it was a great feeling. And by the way, for the people who control sports, since Dave and I aren't in charge of that, for 360 days or so from now, can you please play the fourth round of the Tour Championship on Monday? And for the MAC and the Sun Belt, great day to play yeah. a Monday afternoon
absolutely.
Holiday game to get some
also
exposure.
Also the American and Mountain West in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have four games. And then if you do want to have that major game there, kick the thing off at 6 or so. It's a school night.
Yeah.
And everybody's
that late kickoff and that crowd for Ole Miss and Louisville was just it was terrible.
And I'm sure the TV ratings were awful. And what you'll hear is, well, it was this faction. That, no. In the end, it was a late kickoff.
Yeah, people got to go to work the next
You're day. Playing in a neutral site that is not easily accessible for either of those
exactly.
schools. And it's just that was a day to me. When I got back from the press conference, I came in and I just kind of went, I go, all right, Em, I'm done for the rest of the day with work. And she's watching a house show, and she goes, you can turn it. There's nothing else on. I go, I know. How's the golf night today? You know, again, how is Florida Atlantic not playing Coastal Carolina
exactly.
today? And then having, you know, that'd be a great game for say, Miami of Ohio and Western Michigan to be playing. Just to have –
just
some games on so Labor Day.
It's weird on the schedule. Like even the Braves didn't play on Labor Day.
I know
they're like, how does that happen?
And remember when Muntz would do his I was gonna say Hooked on Sports, but when he was his Inside on Sports, he would always say, and I remember those great minor league doubleheaders for Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Labor Day. And I've always thought, you know what would be a good kind of a marking point for baseball? And hey, they could even do day night to stay greedy, whatever they wanted to do. But if on the three summer holidays, if there were 15 doubleheaders, if they just said, hey, this is our – it's a baseball bonanza. We got 15 twin bills.
Yeah.
And on the three summer holidays, you're kind of a third of the way in, then you're right at halfway in, then you're getting ready for that home stretch.
I like that idea.
But the fact that – and I was sitting there too because you know, it was such a great weekend last weekend and – you know, for those of us who work in the business, we kind of had a rare afternoon off, and I'm just like, it's a chance for us to be a fan. Like, well, there's nothing
say,
to watch.
The Sahlheim Cup was entertaining. I liked it.
The
I know
fact
that's not
that
for
was the best thing off, and it's not
and
good.
They did, it was good, pretty good drama. But you're right. It just seems like there should have been more stuff out there, and there wasn't. But like you said, no one asked us. Speaking of golf, before we get out of here. Big, big, big congrats, and we're so proud of Harris English, who was one of the captain's picks for the Ryder Cup, which will be the weekend of the Vanderbilt game up in Whistling Straits. And unfortunately, Kevin Kisner didn't make it, but Harris gets picked. And our man Cuts, I know he's excited because Jordan Spieth and Scottie Scheffler both got picked. So Texas got two captain's choices.
Well, and Scheffler's one of those guys that you feel like, well, you know, he could be knocking on the door of a major championship. Yeah. And certainly for Harris, two wins, came awfully close to a third, finished third at the U.S. Open, a second straight year with a top five at the U.S. Open. I think Harris has got himself to a spot now where what I call sports fan who watches golf for the majors the TPC only will know him, and that when he wins that major championship, it'll be like, oh, yeah, Harris English, good player, 1-1, not a who is this guy? Because there are a lot of those guys we'll see on tour that I say, quote, unquote, that golf guy knows. Just get a follow. And
like when Jimmy Walker won the PGA Championship, really, really good golfer. Yeah.
Golf guy knows him. Sports fans, like,
not as much. Or, not at all, really.
Right.
So that's not a knock
on those
guys. That
guy was on good times.
By the way, I just saw a commercial with him on it.
Oh, yeah,
Tino Mike. A moment ago.
But I think Harris has gotten to that point with his wins and being in contention and his top fives at majors that he, and now being on the Ryder Cup team, he's taken that leap to now where you're saying, all right, give me – 10, 15 guys, and Scheffler would be another one, who have been lurking around majors who haven't won one that you could see win one next 2 or 3 years. I think Harris is on that list.
I totally agree. And golf's so weird because it was just, I guess, 2 years ago, he's at the Wyndham, and he's got, par the 18th hole or the 72nd hole on Sunday, and it wasn't like a tap-in. I want to say it was like an 8 or 10 footer. And I think he finished 124th or 125th to keep his card. And here we are 2 years later, and he said he's had a great season. He's on the Ryder Cup team.
So, by the way, that pressure, let's say he had that same putt to get into a playoff at the U.S. Open. I get it, of the Masters. I get it. Nowhere near as much pressure as that putt was.
That putt was gigantic.
At the Wyndham. Just you're staying alive.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. As Kiz said, this ain't no hobby.
No.
These guys are doing this for their livelihood. And yes, they make a lot of money when they play well, but when they don't have that contract that they signed with the team owner.
No, that's why when you are playing well, you'll see these guys. You keep playing. You get as many as you can while you can. Because unless you're really one of the top 20, 25 guys. I mean, it's a struggle, and good gracious, we follow it pretty closely. They're probably – how many guys out of the SEC alone that will be joined in the tour this year? They're probably at least 10 guys out of the SEC this year who are tour good.
Yeah. Who could win.
Absolutely.
Not just be good, but can win. It's not like it used to be.
No, we got a couple – obviously, Davis Thompson,
absolutely,
and Spencer Rawson. That's just two guys right there. So, it's just every year it's like that funnel. There are a lot more guys coming in, and there are only those 125 spots.
By the way, he who shall not be named was left off the team as well. So as good as Captain America has been on the Ryder Cup, and I know he's had some health issues, Stricker decides to leave him off.
Well, and you're thinking, if he were on there with him and then DeChambeau and Koepka hate each other, and Dave and Harris had to play. Harris is such a great guy. He had to play with DeChambeau, and then you had the deal with now Cantlay and DeChambeau. That would have been a contentious. I mean, it's contentious enough now, but if that guy was there, holy moly!
Well, maybe Harris. I was trying to think who he'd be a good fit with. Maybe he and Scheffler might be a good team. But at Whistling Straits, and this probably hurt Kiz a little bit, may have hurt Kevin Na a little bit too, is you got to bomb it over there, or you got to bomb it up there. And maybe the thinking was, although I get it, but it's like some guy, I would
Kizzer's
love to see Kiz in a situation
in a match
like that.
Play,
yeah.
The alternate shot, I think he'd be fantastic.
I do too. I'm not just saying this because he's a Georgia guy. I would just like to see how he would do in that kind of competition. I know in the President's Cup, he was very popular.
He
won the match play championship.
That should count for something.
It's just, Adam Scott missed a four-footer for Kisner to win the Wyndham a couple of weeks ago. It's like, well, you know what? Kisner made a four-footer to win.
That's right.
That's the thing, too. So
that's right.
Don't look at it like – I had a feeling, though, he didn't have a couple of great starts after that. That might hurt him, but he loves Georgia. He's a great representative of the university. I hate it that he's not going to be playing in it, but I would just love to just see how he would do in something like that. Because, it's, you know, we see this every year. The Euros for individuals, they don't have the best team.
No.
If you just go by individuals, but in the team format,
they're way better.
They're just so much better.
They are.
And why can't we capture that? Because I think there's not enough guys like Kisner.
I agree. 100%. And there's some guys you know that are – you're talking about players that have won – Like Morikawa, Spieth,
yeah.
Dustin Johnson. Well, yeah, those guys are going to be on it, no doubt.
Right.
But those and especially
those
now that
glue guys, who do you get?
Those, because now you get the four captains. It used to be top 10 plus two. Now it's top 8 plus four. That's
well,
where
no, six now.
Is it six?
Six.
So it was six and six.
Six and six.
So that's what you've got to get the guys who've got that chemistry and have got that feel. But let's face it. I mean, Steve Stricker, you know, fine player, great career, but you know. We're not talking about the most exciting individual who's captaining this. You know, he and Kiz couldn't be any further apart with personality, at least how it goes on the course. I don't know.
And I got I've liked Stricker fine, and
sure.
I'm indifferent to him, but I never liked the fact that he didn't play the British.
Who wouldn't want to play
not
the
much.
British?
I know he played it some, but that wasn't.
If
there were years where
golf,
he didn't.
How? I mean, to me,
the only thing I can think of is. His major was the John Deere, which I love that tournament. And maybe it was the British is always the week after that. I mean, I know I'm grasping
where
for straws.
The game was born.
Yeah.
How could you not?
I
mean, to me, if I could win any two golf tournaments, it'd be the Masters and the British Open. I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine.
In the Heritage.
Oh, that'd be our fifth. Up in Statesboro, you know, the Masters, obviously.
Yeah.
And then Sawgrass is just 3 hours south, and then Hilton Head's an hour and 30 minutes. So
yeah.
That's one of those things when you're a kid, and like for awesome. You with Augusta being close to Spartanburg and the Heritage. So I'm sitting there right in between, you know, every year in the spring. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was the greatest time, really was. Well, really happy for Harris. He joins Chip Beck and Bubba.
Yes, sir.
As Ryder Cupper. So that is great, great, great stuff, and can't wait for the event, the weekend of the Vandy game, which will probably have a noon kickoff and an 11 a.m. I don't know. I've quit trying to predict kickoff times.
And I have
it's
people
just
asking, well, when do you think it's going to be? And I'm sure Carol asked you for this. Like, well, it's either going to be at noon, 3:30, or 7.
I know.
It's like, I don't know.
I'm not trying to be a smart ass.
No.
But that's what we get now. And you can't try. It used to be easier to figure out. It's hard to do now.
It is difficult to do
Way
now.
Too many factors going on. All right, episode 196 of the Crossovers in the Books. We talked about college football and we talked about golf.
All right, chips on the table. You got $127 in your wallet. You got to put it all down. Do the Braves win the NL East or not?
I'm going to go yes.
I think so, too.
I'm going to go yes.
I do believe that last week, does it go Phillies, then Mets? I think it's going to come down to that last week.
Yeah.
But I think I would lean yes.
I would, too. I would, too. I like what they've done with their roster. They've done it without Acuna. They've rallied and
yeah
we should have gotten into this whole conversation earlier in the podcast.
One thing with them offensively, with I think it helps the offense, you know, you got to keep scoring because that bullpen is shaky.
Well, last night, I mean, they had a 5-2 lead. They give up a three-run homer in the seventh inning, and then Albies answers with his two-run shot. That's the kind of stuff you have to do to win. Not just games but divisions.
And they definitely they need to keep swinging throughout the game.
Yes, they do.
Keep scoring, baby.
Yes, keep scoring. I totally agree. All right, Jeff, enjoyed it
as always.
We'll be back next week with another edition of The Crossover. And, again, thanks so much for joining us. You can find us wherever you find your podcast. He's Jeff Dantzler from the home team. I'm David Johnston from The Morning Show. Thanks so much for listening. Even had Kingsley in here today. He was nice and quiet. He was so well-behaved. Just hanging out. But then again, he got to eat a cracker, so he's very
only
happy.
One. Thanks to mama.
That's
don't
right.
blame me.
Put the kibosh on him. We need to get the Busman and Hermie up here for one of the tapings.
Oh, yeah.
That will be phenomenal. All right, thanks so much for joining us. We're out of here. Thanks for listening to 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.